Today marks the end of the church year, and the gospel lesson brings to us the account of Jesus' crucifixion. The church year appropriately ends with Jesus' death, his atonement and sacrifice for sin. He takes all sin into his body, his flesh, and all sin has been accounted for before the Father by the shedding of his holy, precious blood. The ultimate sin bearer is Jesus on the cross, and yet he is innocent of sin. He is the Lamb without blemish, the perfect sacrifice, and a pleasing aroma for the world's sin. Because of this one-time act of God in Christ, original sin and the sins that you continue to commit is atoned for, covered, all of it paid. You're off the hook for your sin because of this act of Jesus dying for you. The year ends highlighting the crucifixion because it's only by the crucifixion of Jesus that your transgressions are not held against you before God. The law cannot condemn you to eternal death because there is nothing to accuse in the believer, the one who has faith in Jesus. Taking all this into consideration means the church year ends reminding us, teaching us how we ought to live. By faith. Faith in Christ crucified for the forgiveness of sins, a clean conscience, and life in heaven, dwelling with God and all the saints. So you can and should think about the resurrected Christ. You should think about the exalted Christ, the Christ who has ascended and now sits at the Father's right hand. But dear friends, think also about the crucified Christ, who died and was buried for you, for your sin, all of it. And so you are free, you are forgiven by faith in this excellent promise of God. There are many people who believe this. Differences, however, exist regarding just how far Jesus' atonement goes when it comes to salvation. The question is this. Does the death of Jesus totally get you into heaven, or does man have to make some contribution along with Jesus in order to fully satisfy the law's demands and get you into heaven? This is a huge question. Does the crucifixion totally get you into heaven, or does it still require works of the flesh? To answer that question, we look at two criminals, two men crucified with Jesus hanging by our Lord on Good Friday. Both of these criminals are condemned to death. One blasphemes the Lord. He says, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." If you are the Christ. This man will not believe unless Jesus meets him on his own terms. He has his own personal criteria for Jesus to meet. Get down from the cross and get me down as well, if you are the Christ. Luke calls this blasphemy. This man does not believe in the crucified Jesus. He rejects the death of Jesus. To him, this is not the work of God. Jesus dying was not his God and wouldn't be unless God met him on his own terms. Jesus would only be his God if Jesus released him from temporal suffering and the punishment that he deserved, if you are the Christ. The same language the rulers use when they look upon Jesus hanging on the cross and they conclude, this is nothing but a spectacle. If he is the Christ, why doesn't he save himself? The second criminal doesn't quite see it that way, does he, friends? The second criminal has a totally different perspective. He knows he is a sinner. He knows he is guilty. His punishment is just. And he knows he is worthy of death, but he also knows that Jesus is innocent. Criminal number two knows that Jesus has done nothing wrong. And he doesn't try to talk himself out of death, but he looks to Jesus And he says, Lord, remember me. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. And my friends, how does Jesus respond to this criminal? This is crucial. Lord, remember me, as he hangs there bleeding, dying. What does Jesus say? Too late? I'm sorry you should have come to me sooner. I'm sorry, but the works, the piety, it's just not there. Rubbish. The Lord Jesus looks at this sinner and says, today, today, you will be with me in paradise. This dying criminal, admitting his sin, admitting his crime, knowing he is justly under the sentence of condemnation, he doesn't try to acquit himself. He believes the punishment is just, but he believes more boldly in God's mercy, and he begs for God's remembrance of him, and Jesus gives him what he's after. Salvation, life eternal with God. Today you will be with me in paradise. And just like that, the criminal is absolved of his sin and declared an heir to God's kingdom. Now, looking at these two dangling criminals on a tree approaching death, and you wouldn't see a big difference between these two men. They're both a bloody dying mess, aren't they? No good works being done at the moment, no expressions of piety, just two criminals on their way to death. Their sin is evident, they will die for their crimes, and on the surface, they look no different. If you had to judge these people based on their outward piety and good works, how would you be able to tell which one gets in and which one doesn't? They're both guilty criminals sentenced to death. If anything, we would think, they both deserve hell. But that's not exactly how it works, is it? One criminal has faith. He has faith in the crucified Christ. One believes in Jesus, that Jesus has a kingdom, and he is able to save beyond death and even bring sinners to himself. The criminal of faith believes this. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Outwardly, you can't tell a big difference between these two people. But one believes. One believes, and so his death was a passage to life with the Lord. The testimony of this criminal has lasted throughout the ages, and it dashes to pieces the belief that one must add good works to their faith in order to be right before God. That criminal on the cross, he had nothing to give. He could only rely on God's mercy. And in the end, he gets what he seeks, life in heaven. And that's really comforting, because the reality is we're very similar to this criminal hanging by Jesus. Sin always warrants death, not a slap on the wrist. If you want to talk about what sin deserves, it is always eternal condemnation and separation from God. The wages of sin is death, period. God's law, it reveals that sin. When we cling to our idols, when we despair of his promises, when we don't believe in what he says, when we fail to show compassion and love to our neighbor, when we rest in our own strongholds instead of the mighty fortress himself. The wandering of our eyes, the deceit of the tongue, the coveting of the heart condemns us all. And no amount of personal piety, works of goodness, and a happy, pleasant disposition can smuggle one's way into heaven and dine at God's banquet. It does not and will not work that way. The criminal could only confess, and he could only receive what God gives, and that is his kingdom, freely yours, by faith in the crucified Christ. And so I say unto you, for those of you sitting in the pew right now, and you are tired, and you are weepy, you are spent in your flesh, for those of you who are just worn out, the labors of this world have added a lot of stress and a bunch of gray hair. For those of you who feel pinned to a tree, your body is racked with pain, and there's nothing you can do to contribute to your neighbor. My friends, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer, because the atonement of Jesus is perfectly and completely sufficient for your salvation. Jesus has done it. He does not need help. Salvation is always of God. God's kingdom is in your possession by faith in He who does remember His people, and He promises to bring them to Himself at death. My friends, Jesus does not forget His saints. He remembers them. He always remembers His people that He died to redeem, to purchase, to cover with His blood. He remembers them. And faith in Christ alone gets you this kingdom. Faith in Christ means you grab Him and you have Him even now. If you're seeking to be close with God, just believe in the one whom He has sent, the one who died to justify you. And you are so close to Him that He calls you His body. The church is the body of Christ. Righteousness, heavenly righteousness, yours in Christ, and faith grabs all of it. Works follow faith, but they don't make faith, and they certainly don't save the sinner. So on this last Sunday of the church year, we end hearing about Jesus' crucifixion, because on account of it, we live every day in the mercy and grace of God, and on account of it, we look forward to the beginning of our sure and certain life in paradise with our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which does surpass all human understanding, may it guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus from now unto life everlasting. Amen.